Page 231. Mental Purification Through Insight. The other 19 sections are described as those relating to insight meditation, kamatana and upachara, neighborhood concentration. The yogi notes that he walks when he walks, that he stands when he stands, that he lifts his foot when he does so and so forth. In short, he watches and notes all kinds of bodily movement. He must also have clarity of consciousness, sampajanya. He must be clearly conscious in looking straight, on looking sideways, in bending or stretching the legs or hands, or in holding the robes or begging bowl, in eating, in drinking, or even in passing the waste matter out of the body. When he walks, stands, sits, sleeps, wakes up, speaks or keeps silence, he must do these things consciously. In short, every behavior of the body must be governed by consciousness, by awareness. There is no bodily behavior that we should not watch or that should not be the object of our awareness. We should also watch and make ourselves aware of the air element or the element of stiffness and motion as suggested by the rising and falling of the belly. The yogi should also contemplate the three kinds of feelings, namely pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, and neutral feeling. This may be expanded to 9 kinds of feelings. The yogi should know and note all of these feelings. As regards the contemplation of mind, of citta, the yogi is instructed to attend to and know every state of mind that occurs as it is, whether it is greed or not, and so on. As for the contemplation of the mind objects, dhammanupassana, there are 5 subjects for practice. The yogi should know the kind of hindrance that he has, whether it is sensuous desire or not, etc. He must know the 5 khanda, that is, corporality, feeling, perception, karma formation and sensual consciousness. He should know the ayatana, or the 12 sense bases or sources, such as the eye and the visual objects, etc. When the yogis of today watch and become mindful of their seeing, hearing, etc., they are practicing Satipatthana method, and their practice conforms to the ayatana section of the sutta. The yogi is also instructed to know the 7 links of enlightenment, the bojanga. This accords with the experience of the yogis when they have special illuminations following the development of insight knowledge, such as Udayabhaya Jnana. The yogi should also know the 4 noble truths. According to the commentary, we should distinguish between 2 mundane truths, that is, the truth about suffering and the truth about the cause of suffering. When the yogi watches the desire and attachment that arises, he is aware of the truth about the cause of suffering. He also knows it after reflection. So to watch everything that arises on the basis of the abdominal rising and falling is to practice the 4 kinds of Satipatthana contemplation, more or less in accordance with the teaching of the Satipatthana. Each of the 4 methods of contemplation is specially suitable for some yogis. The yogis will attain their Aryan path and fruition through any method that suits them best. So we advise the yogi to watch everything, starting with the rising and falling. While thus watching, the yogi is likely to be distracted by habitual thoughts, which are largely the hindrance of sensual desire. Such thoughts should be watched and rejected. We become angry in the face of an unpleasant object. This is the hindrance of ill will that has to be watched and rejected. The yogis who practice meditation are at the beginning motivated by strong faith, will and energy. But when there does not develop any insight knowledge, some yogis lose heart and become slack after some time. This is the hindrance of torpor, which must be removed through constant watchfulness. If watching is not helpful, the yogi should reflect on the virtues of the Buddha, etc., on the dangers of samsara, the life cycle, and the benefits of vipassana. Those who do not know how to reflect should consult their teacher and hear suitable sermons. Hearing sermons tends to dispel laziness. Tina Mida is also translated as drowsiness, drowsiness maybe due to torpor and to physical exhaustion. While watching, the yogi may lose energy, become slothful, and his perceptions are gradually weakened. If he cannot overcome his sloth by watching, he becomes drowsy and falls asleep. Even the chief disciple Moggallana was overcome with torpor while meditating before he became an arahant. The Buddha instructed the disciples to dispel torpor by fixing the mind on light, washing one's face, and so forth. Drowsiness is not necessarily defilement. Drowsiness through exhaustion of the physical body may occur even in the arahat who has no defilement. So when Satchika, the wandering ascetic, asked the Buddha whether he ever slept in the daytime, the Buddha replied that he slept during the day in the last month of summer. Satchika said that sleeping in the daytime was regarded by some people as a form of stupor. Although he thus referred to the views of some people, he was in fact implying that the Buddha was not free from moha, ignorance. The Buddha then said that sleeping was neither stupor nor non-stupor, that one who is not free from biases and defilements may be in stupor, that the Buddha who was free from defilement was never in stupor. So even the Buddha slept, and this shows that the desire to sleep because of physical exhaustion is not to be described as torpor or as a hindrance. Physical torpor. So the Vimuttimagga, the path of liberation, mentions three kinds of torpor according to their causes, namely psychological factors, hot weather, and excess of food. It says that only the psychosomatic torpor is a hindrance or a defilement, and that other kinds of torpor cannot be so described because even the arahants are not free from them. This view is repudiated in Visuddhimagga and the commentary on Attasilani. Difference between the Vimuttimagga and the Visuddhimagga there. But physical torpor due to climate and food is also mentioned in Milinda Panha, the Questions of Milinda, and Peta Kopadesa. Thus, the theory of physical torpor was advanced by three ancient Indian books and rejected by the Sinhalese commentaries. We should therefore assume that the physical origin of torpor was accepted by Indian bhikkhus. The theory is reasonable because it is said that even the Buddha slept during the day when it was very hot. So the term, Tina Midda, is to be restricted to laziness, drowsiness, or lethargy that beset us in doing good deeds or in the practice of meditation. It is Tina Midda if it is laziness that prevents you from hearing the sermon or from meditating on the Buddha. Such Tina Midda should be rejected after due reflection. In particular, laziness, low energy or drowsiness while you are watching the sense objects in meditation means Tina Midda. This is to be watched and dispelled. True to the teaching of the Buddha, the yogi should affirm his will to overcome Tina Midda. He should watch vigilantly and focus his mind on the contact between his consciousness and the object that is watched. In this way, before long, he will attain concentration. Concentration means insight, because when the mind is concentrated, it is fixed on the object of attention. There is no lethargy, no hindrance. The watching consciousness is pure, and this is citta visuddhi, or purity of mind. Just as when you look in the darkness at night, you see nothing clearly, but when you switch on your flashlight, all the objects that are within the focus of the light become clearly visible. Concentration is like the electric light. All the phenomena on which you concentrate your mind become clear. When you watch the rising and falling, you become clearly aware of the rising, falling, and stiffness of the abdomen. So the same may be said of the bending, stretching, lifting of your legs, etc. The yogi knows stiffness and motion clearly. Every unit of the watching, consciousness is also clearly perceived, as if it were moving towards the object of attention. Hence there arises nama, rupa, paricheda, jnana, that is, insight into the distinction between nama and rupa, and the formation of couples of the watching consciousness and the corporeality that is watched. We will talk more of the relation between samadhi and insight later. For the moment, we stress the need for overcoming torpor through intensive mindfulness. Udaccha is mind wandering, or the straying of the mind away from the object that is to be watched. This is so well known that it needs no elaboration. While watching the rise and fall of the abdomen or the body postures, etc., the mind tends to wander to vague, indefinite objects. There, thought objects are apparently not objects of desire, irritation, or doubt. Sometimes the thoughts seem to slip away in spite of all the special attention paid to the object. Occasionally, the mind wavers between this and that way of watching, and so is distracted and restless. This restlessness is due to overzeal. The yogi should then relax his effort, take it easy, and practice watching steadily. More often than not, restlessness is due to weak effort. So in order to avoid it, the yogi should take special care to fix his mind on the object of his attention. Watching should be done with special care, just as one exercises great care to prevent a breakable object from slipping from the hand. The commentary says that some people are not tranquil even for a few seconds. Their minds are always wandering. They do not try to keep their mind stable even for a moment, nor do they know that it is worthwhile to do so. So the Buddha urged his disciples to overcome restlessness by fixing their mind on the object of attention, instead of allowing it to wander restlessly. At the beginning, the yogi should focus on the arising of the abdomen, from the beginning to the end. The same may be said of watching the falling, sitting, lifting, putting forward, etc. If the yogi thus keeps on watching carefully, he will develop concentration and find his consciousness falling right on the object of attention. Just as, for example, when you throw a heavy rice bag off your shoulder, it stays where it falls instead of rolling away. Or just as when you plunge a spear or a pointed stick in the soft ground, it stays stuck up where it falls. So, with the development of concentration, the mind is focused on the object, and it is no longer restless but becomes pure. This is purity of mind that is free from restlessness and other hindrances. This mental purity leads to nama, rupa, paricheda, insight, that discriminates between consciousness and corporeality. Vichikicca, doubt about right dhamma. Vichikicca is skepticism about the Buddha, his teaching, the Sangha, and the practice of sila, samadhi, and panya. All these four kinds of skepticism are implicit in the skepticism about the true Dhamma. For one who has doubt about the true Dhamma will have doubt too about the Buddha who preached it, about the members of the Sangha who practice it, about the way of life that conforms to it. Hence our translation of vichikicca as doubt about the right Dhamma. Also implicit in the doubt about the right Dhamma are doubt about the past of life cycle, samsara, doubt about its future, doubt about the present in relation to the combination of past and future, and doubt about the relation between cause and effect, dependent origination. For the past of samsara, etc., are bound up with the right Dhamma. Thus, doubt about the right Dhamma means all the eight kinds of doubt that we have mentioned. It does not include doubts that have nothing to do with the right Dhamma, doubts as to whether this road will lead to the pagoda, whether this business is likely to be lucrative, and so forth. Such kind of doubt in worldly affairs is not a nivarana or hindrance. Only the eightfold doubt about the Dhamma is to be termed a nivarana, vichikicca,